Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today, you will hear a sermon from Pastor Jeff Abiera. So without further ado, here he is.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, good morning again, Harvest. I'm so happy to worship with you guys together. We got all stages and ages in the room. Real quick, can we welcome the Seeds people up in the room too, the children? Seeds children, I want to remind you to be ready for your notes, all right? Because we got a little something for you if you have good notes. Amen. I'm going to have a shorter message today, but sometimes short is good too. Amen? Amen. The reality is this. Words have power. Nelson Mandela said this. He said, a single sentence can awaken the conscience of a nation. So as we do every time before my message, let's say the words of affirmations that I will lead us in. Let's embody them and bring life into our spirit. If you're a Christ follower, please repeat after me and say, I am a child of God. Say, I am loved by God. And I am the light of the world. Amen. I'm going to focus on one Bible verse today. It's going to be Proverbs 18:21. And it says this, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen. Let's pray again. God, thank you so much for the power of your word. We thank you so much that within your word, we can be directed how to use our words. So God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The title of my message today is Words That Change Everything. Everybody say everything. This is nothing new, but my hope is that it would remind us that as the scripture teaches us to offer our worship as living sacrifices, that includes the sacrifice and the obedience of our words. The Bible teaches us that the words and our tongue is untamable. So we need to even surrender the way that we use our words to Jesus to transform our hearts so that what comes out of our mouths is pleasing to him. Amen? I want to start off with a conversation that I had with my daughter. It's a very common conversation that we often have. My daughter helps me become a better man every single day, a better father. So we got a new dog, and if you saw that video where me and Jacob were going crazy, we were talking about my dog. So the Seeds kids already know about my dog. His name's Ramen. My family loves to eat ramen noodles. So we got this dog, and there was one day, and went to my daughter. I was like, hey, beautiful. I was like, can you let our dog Ramen out for me to the back? And you know what happened? She looked at me, offended. She couldn't believe the words that I spoke. And I was confused. I was taken back. And you know what she looked like? She leaned in, upset, like that, powerful. And she said, Daddy, you didn't say please. And I said, I'm so sorry. I've trained you so well, daughter. Let me do it again. Thank you for your grace. I said, hey, beautiful, can you let the dog out the back, please? And she said, okay. It's funny because we laugh at that, but then I was reflecting on my own heart this past week. And I remember this one time, actually many times, maybe every week, my wife goes to me and she says, can you do the dishes like right now? It's been sitting there all day. And you know what I said? I said, yeah, I can. But can you at least say please? True story. The power of one word. The power of one word can change everything. Maybe at work you have, or at school, or a progress report, or a job performance evaluation, or even just talking to your friends. What if someone said this? They said, man, you are such a hard worker, period. Oh, that's a good statement. That feels real good. But what if we change it just a little bit? And someone goes to you and says, man, you are a hard worker, but, that simple but changes everything. Antoine de Saint once said, words are the source of misunderstandings. Again, our main scripture, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So the way that we use our words, we're going to eat of its fruit. In other words, there's going to be consequences on the other end for what we say and return back to us. Seeds kids, if you're ready, here's my first main point. Main point number one, it's so simple, but carries so much weight. It's this: words can bring death. Point number one, words can bring death. I think this past year, I've been in the book of Genesis, like every time I preach, but I'm going to do it again. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3 now. And as we know, in Genesis chapter 1, we see that everything came out in creation by words. God said, let there be light, there was light. God said, let there be animals, there was animals, right? Now let's look at chapter 2 and chapter 3, because there's something very significant that we see here, where we see the power of words happen right before our eyes that we often look over. So I'm going to kind of briefly go over it. So in chapter 2, so for example, in verse 8, it says, then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful, that produced delicious fruit. And I'm going to keep going. Later on, it says in verse 15, it's not up there, but it says, the Lord God placed the man in the garden. And then it says, so the Lord God formed from the ground wild animals, and then he gave them names. And then later on, it says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into deep sleep. And then out of that, the Lord God made a woman from the rib of the man. And then let's now go to chapter 3, okay? So I just gave you a lot, and you could go back to this, okay? This is very important. There are certain words that was written in that moment. But then something happens. Words of death come. In chapter 3, it says the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees? Something changed there with the words. What happened? Of course, we may eat from the trees of the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree of the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat or even touch it. If you do, you will die. So in that moment, what happened? Did we catch it? Did we see what happened? It was a very simple thing. But the devil was very sneaky. In all of chapter 2, go back to chapter 2. In all of chapter 2, way more than what is posted up here, it says, then the Lord God. Everybody say, Lord God. Then when we move to chapter 3, let's see what happens again. Go back to chapter 3. Then we see the serpent say this. He said, did God. Something changed there. What is missing? The word that is missing is Lord. And because the word Lord is now gone, what do we see that happens with Eve? It says at the bottom, or right after that, she also says, instead of Lord God, she just says God. Lord God versus God. One word that changed everything. Actually, one word that changed the trajectory of humanity. Satan's words, they are subtle, but they hold immense power. By taking out Lord before God, he challenged God's authority. But that small change produced horrible fruit. What is Satan's goal? It is to steal, kill, and destroy, to deceive, distract. And notice here that he doesn't doubt that God is God. But he just simply says, God is not Lord. A word that can change everything. Guys, the way that we use our words, that is an example of the power of death that can happen. How often do we use our words for death to deceive, to hurt, especially the people maybe in our homes or even the people in this very room? Or maybe the power of death in words comes from not saying certain words, maybe withholding certain words that should be said. How many of us have gone through so many issues because of the words that weren't used? How painful has that been? Guys, when we do this, when we practice and rehearse the way that Satan used words in the garden, we are simply actually in reality rehearsing Satan's ways, his practices. Again, in Proverbs 18, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." I have this one spoken word, and I said this. I said, "Too much injustice turned into violence. Hatred is outspoken. We need a moment of silence." I love dropping bars on you guys because the artsy-fartsy ones, they look at me like, okay, I get it. And then everybody else is like, okay. The power of words. Main point number two, get ready, seeds. If number one was the power of death, what is number two? Main point is this: words can bring life. Words can bring life. Everybody say life. This is why I do the affirmations before my messages. This is why I do those affirmations every day. This is why I pray before my message that may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Because these are the words that bring life. You know, all throughout the Bible, there is very highlighted areas all over where simple sections just say, they said this. For example, I'm just going to run through a bunch. 1 Corinthians 2:13, it says, "This is what we speak, not in words taught by us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit." Matthew 12:37, "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Luke 24:8, this is all it says. It says, "Then they remembered his words." 2 Samuel says, "Then go to the king and speak these words." Exodus 20, verse 1, it says, "And God spoke these words." All of these verses, they are highlighting just that words were being said. Imagine what one word can do that is ordained and anointed by the living God coming out of your mouth and into the people around you. Imagine the few words that we just said, "I am a child of God, I'm loved by God, I'm the light of the world." What if we embrace those words? Imagine what those anointed words can do for your life and can impact the kingdom of God. A few sentences has the power to destroy someone's life. Maybe for you, you remember the time when you were rejected, maybe by your parent or by a loved one, or maybe by a coaching staff if you're trying to get in sports. A simple, "No, you did not get on the team," how much that hurts. But on the same light, imagine a few sentences that has the power to bring freedom, to allow somebody to walk in their full potential. Guys, words can bring the power of life. God's words is the thing that brings even forgiveness and life. So real quick, I just want to model this for a moment for you all. Some of us in this room, maybe you have been feeling lonely. Maybe for some of the youth, man, summer is out, but you're out of your routine, you're home, a lot of thoughts, and you're feeling alone. And I just want to encourage you and say that God is with you. Simple words. But once you believe it, man, it has the power to bring life into you. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Or maybe you're not in school and you've grown, but you're feeling lonely right now, man. I want to say those same words to you. Or maybe there's somebody in this room, you are hurting. And maybe it's not even because of your fault. It's just life is throwing you storms. For you, I want to remind you that Jesus sees your pain. And there's an actual verse that just says Jesus wept. Because Jesus had feelings too. Jesus had hard days too. And that God is with you. Or maybe for some of us in this room, you feel shame because there's a sin that you committed this past week. Maybe you said something that came out wrong and it really hurt somebody. Or you did something and you weren't thinking too much before you did it and it wronged someone. You know, words that bring life can also mean that we can use words to confess. The Bible says, confess your sins so that you may be healed. Maybe today, a word of life that can come out of you is a word of sorry. One word, another one word that can change everything. Maybe you've been waiting for a parent to say sorry your whole life. What if you just said it first? We have to realize that we are instructed by Jesus to pick up our cross. And there are things that are instructed to us as Christ's followers to also refrain from. But one form of picking up our cross is confessing our sins. And when we confess our sins, it may sound weird, but that is actually a form of words of blessing. It's words of truth and life. Because the Bible says that the truth will set you free. It may hurt, but it sets us free. Practical application. See, these kids, get ready for this. I got some homework for you. Actually, not just for you, but for everybody in the room, all right? It's so simple. Today, all right, let's do it in the next few hours. I know a lot of us are probably going to go out to eat, or maybe all of us, or eat at home. And this is all we're going to do. The homework for today is this. I want you to build each other up. Whether you're with your family, your father, or your friends, it doesn't have to be weird. All right, you could blame it on your pastor. It's okay. You could try it in the car. You could try it at lunch. I just want you to encourage one another. Say, thank you for this. Or I'm grateful to you because of this. Or maybe for some of us, we need to say, I'm sorry for this. Practical applications. See, kids, you got it? Give me a thumbs up. Amen. Amen. Remind your parents. The Bible says in Luke 6, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Guys, this can easily be a self-help or self-improvement message, but my hope is that that is not what it's about. This is not about improving who you are. This is about remembering the gospel that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that this is not about improvement, but this is about becoming a new creation in Jesus, because there is nothing that we can do to make our words perfect without Jesus. Jesus is the one who gives us the example. And in Romans, it says, so faith comes through hearing, and hearing the good news of Christ. It all starts with Jesus. Amen? In closing, I'm going to invite Mr. Jacob to come back up here real quick. All right, give it up for Mr. Jacob. Actually, can you stand right here? I'm going to switch mics. Stand right there. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but this is going to be amazing. All right, so I brought some props today. All right, a couple things. So I brought two bags just in case it fails. All right, so this is a bag of water. Everybody see it? It's not fake. You see the water move around, right? All right, and this is what we're going to do. Actually, come up here real quick. All right, I got some sharp pencils too. Anybody know this? Know this science experiment? Anybody know what's going to happen? All right. Oh, man. All right.
Let me do it.
All right. So let me explain. All right. When it comes to words, The Bible is full of words of promises about God. And there's going to be times in our life where we don't want to trust what's about to happen. But the reality is the Bible says that his word will not return void. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to place this over his head. And it's going to, this water is going to be the promises of God. All right? Lord, I pray that this would work. And the pencils are the times where we get tempted to think of words of death and not the words of truth. All right, you ready? It's going to go through. Oh. It worked, but we ain't done yet. There's going to be times in our life where we feel like God is no longer there, but the Bible says God is with you. Oh, man. We ain't done yet, though. Here we go. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to sin and you're going to feel like there's nothing that can forgive you, that you're going to be tainted forever. But the Bible says, in Jesus, we are forgiven. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give it up for Mr. Jacob. Can you take this? Amen. Amen. What did we see there? We see that faith takes a little bit of risk, right? Jacob looked confident, but I know on the inside, he was like, man, I won't get wet right now. You know, each pencil was simply declaring amen. Even though it was going in, the water that didn't come out was saying amen. And I want to give you a word that I hope you can say every single day. One word. And that word is amen. Everybody say amen. As the Bible shows us that Satan took away the word Lord from Lord God, he was simply saying, it's not true. But the Hebrew word amen simply means truly, and it simply means let it be. So as I end today, my encouragement to you is this, to walk around your life and not just say amen, but live out the words of one word that can change everything. The Bible says this, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Bible says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. The Bible says this, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The Bible says this, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Our retreat theme passage is Psalm 145, and this is what it says at the end of that book. It says, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. And God, we declare one word that can change everything, and that word is amen. Amen, because you are the God that spoke everything into existence. And that you are the God that can speak over our lives right now. You are the God that can say your sins are forgiven. You are the God that can say, peace I leave with you. Peace I give you when you're not feeling it on the inside. So God, I pray that as we close today, that we would remember the power of our words, but more importantly, the power of your words over our life. In Jesus' name. Let's continue to pray. And as you pray, I'm just going to have a short time of prayer. Close your eyes. Everyone, every age and stage in this room, close your eyes and just pray and thank God with our words again. And if you don't have the words to say, man, just say amen. 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 Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Truly, truly. Amen. And then we'll close in a song. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.